When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
All right, your Auburn Soccer Complex time is 8:36 p.m. I'm your host again tonight, the second time this week, Ryan Starrett, you know me. My co-host, a little busy. Like I said, I've got little ones and, I don't, so I have more freedom than them. Tonight, we're going to be talking Auburn soccer. The season's about to kick off. I've already had one exhibition game, and I've got a special guest. You may know him as one of the voices of the Auburn soccer team or from literally anything else in town because he's everywhere. He's a travel soccer coach. He works in the athletic department. He used to teach at Auburn High School, so you may be known from there. Mac Matthews. How's it going, Mac?
Ryan, it's good. Thanks for having me on. It's good to talk about soccer.
Yeah, it's good to have somebody that knows a little bit more than I do about it. all right, so let's step back for people that may not be as familiar with the program. Where does Auburn sit in the SEC and nationally?
Well, there's a question of where they sit and where they want to sit and where they could sit. And all of that's just really wide open right now. And the SEC in soccer is a lot like what you're seeing in baseball and in basketball. It's been this way in football forever. You know, the best teams in the country are now in the SEC in virtually every sport, and soccer is no exception. It used to be the ACC and West Coast, Southern California, especially Texas. But now the SEC has come so far. And so for Auburn, top half is a minimum expectation, given the experience of the coaching staff and the depth of recruiting year to year. Nationally, if they're not in the top 20, 25, by a third of the way through the season, it seems to be a bit of a disappointment. And they certainly expect to make a tournament every year. And I think this is a team, Ryan, that really feels hard done by the tournament committee coming off the COVID year.
That's something I wanted to ask you about. It seemed like they were right there to kind of get in the back end of the tournament last year. And, as weird as everything was, especially in soccer, there was the split fall and spring season. It seemed like they were playing their best soccer at the end of the year as well. But they missed the tournament and didn't play their best in conference play. So what caused that? I mean, was there anything in particular?
Well, it's terribly typical of a young team to not play well initially and then to grow into it, especially when you go from fall to spring, which I think is how soccer should be. When you do it just in the fall or just in the spring, you end up playing two games a week. And, imagine asking a football team to play two games a week. And I know they're not having car wrecks every time they end a play, but the average player is running, anywhere between 7 and 10 miles a game.
When I saw some of the collisions in the exhibition, they were not soft.
Memphis didn't come to make friends. And if you look at the fouls, I think it was like 17 to 8. And so Memphis was definitely delivering. But anyway, if you could have it spread out like that, it allows you to play one game a week. And you tend to get better games and less injuries. But it also lets you have a team like Auburn that's young progress. And those youngsters grew up over the winter. And by the time the spring showed up, it was a very different team. And they began to find their goals. That's always the struggle. What separates a good soccer team from a great one is having dynamic goal scorers. And that's something Auburn has not been known for. They're known for their defense. And so they began to grow into it in the spring. And you're right, they were playing their best soccer. And it was a bit of a shock when they were left out. But that's the risk you take when you have that kind of season.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was almost a coin flip between Auburn and Ole Miss, I believe. And Auburn had the head-to-head, seemed like he had a better resume, but
Yep.
Tournament took Ole Miss instead.
That's right. And when I say they feel hard done by, it's not an overstatement. They feel hard done by, and they're going to bring that into the season.
Yeah, that's motivation always is good. Let's talk a little bit about this year's team then. It seemed like they struggled at points. You talked about them being a very young team last year. They struggled to score goals. I think in 18 games, it was they scored 27 goals, only gave up 15, which is fantastic. But like you said, it seemed like they couldn't find a dynamic goal scorer or a focal point of the offense.
Well, if you can find a dynamic goal scorer, you're going to separate yourself from virtually every other team. They're extremely hard to come by. You look at, you know, soccer on a world level where it's football, not soccer. And, you know, you get players like Messi, who just moved to PSG, which is just shameful. And, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and Neymar and a few others. There are only a few others in all of world football who are elite goal scorers. And that's in the men's game, where they have a distinct – it's a very different game, and it's speed and power. And, you know, and in the women's game, it's sometimes even harder to find dynamic goal scorers. And that's certainly the case across, you know, as the level of soccer in the Southeast has increased, the competition for those elite goal scorers is so much greater than it used to be. And there are not many to go around. And so, if you can find one of those, and Auburn's six deep up top, but they're young, and somebody's going to have to step up. That's the bottom line. You've got to find somebody with the confidence. I think it was Olivia Candelino last year who tried a bicycle kick in the middle of a game. And you just don't see that very often. It takes a certain panache and egotism to try that kind of stuff. And that's what they need. They need somebody like that to step up and run with it.
So if this year is going to be a success, it sounds like they're going to have to find somebody that can have that confidence to go in and score those goals. Even last year with those 27 goals, they were pretty spread out. You know, I don't think anybody had more than four or five, maybe. If this year is a success, who do you see, or maybe a handful of people, who are those focal points?
Well, the two names that immediately pop up are Sidney Richards and Haley Whitaker. And they've had to bounce around in and out of the midfield to try to solve some problems with the team shape. But they're both very capable, both very experienced. Sidney with a quality left foot, moments of brilliance. Haley Whitaker was on top 10 Sports Center in the spring for a snap volley she hit. They both have moments of brilliance, but there's got to be greater consistency. And then I'm really interested to see what happens with this grad transfer, Sabrina McNeil. She's a true forward, a dedicated goal scorer, a left footer, which you don't find very often. And this is the only year she's got left. She wants to play professionally. And, you know, you've seen that with several transfers in the football program. They've got 1 year, and you know they're going to lay it all on the line. And that's the same thing with Sabrina. She's a little she's carrying a little bit of injury right now. But if she can get healthy and get on the field, we'll see what happens. If she can be solid and then we find one other player to combine with her, it could be nasty up top.
Yeah, a few years ago, there was Bree Folds, who was just a dynamic scorer. Like, talked about amazing. You know, we talked about her plenty on this podcast. So hopefully this team can find someone like that. And it seems like pretty much everybody's returning from last year's team. I mean, there's a handful of names that aren't back, but of those 27 goals last year, 24 or 23 of them are back. So this does seem to lend itself to a team that can grow together and develop together. We've seen that on the basketball court plenty in the last couple of years, where these teams maybe struggled with a bunch of sophomores and freshmen, but as they got older, they did some big things. So is that something you see happening here as well?
Absolutely. You've got an experienced spine up the middle, at least at three levels. Hannah Wesch, she's their holding center mid. A year of experience under her belt, can cover the whole field, and very good at her job of shielding the back line Anna Haddock is a difference maker at that attacking center mid. And again, a year of experience and should have all of those butterflies out. And then the real kicker in the mix is going to be, again, another grad transfer, Grace Sklopin. I don't know if it's Sklopin or Sklopan. I haven't talked to her yet. But she's a true attacking center mid. She's a fifth-year senior, if that makes sense. She's got 2 years of eligibility. She's here for an MBA, graduated from Virginia Tech in 3 years. Really bright young lady. She's already in the MBA program here. And she should be playing alongside Anna Haddock in the midfield, and that's going to maybe be the real change factor. She's not a Bree Folds. Rarely do you get a player who can compare like that, but she's a similar skill set, can run for days, can keep the ball, has great vision. And so we'll see how she fits into the mix with this team. And she's got 2 years. So that could be a real difference. But, you know, the real key is how they're going to rebuild that back line.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the roster right now, and it really seems like there's very few seniors on this team. Sabrina McNeil that you talked about, she's a grad transfer, and Haley Whitaker is a senior as well. Outside of that, I see a lot of freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. So if they can find something to build on this year, it seems like this could be a 2 year or 3 year even building block.
Absolutely. They're going to have to replace Whitaker. They're going to have to replace Melanson. She gets kind of lost in the shuffle. She's already been drafted by the North Carolina Courage. Which means she has, after the season's over, she gets to go to training camp and try to earn a spot on the roster. If you take those two and you can just replace those two pieces going forward, they have a chance to really run for several years. I think she brought in 12 players last year and then wow. eight more freshmen this year. That's 20 new players and that's her core. And so if she can get the back line sorted out, she's got a goalkeeper to build on for years in Prochaska. But I'm really going to be paying attention to the back line. They want to play in a 3-5-2. And lots of teams want to, but very few teams can. You've got to have three true center backs. And that's like having three really high-level five-star linebackers. Then you can do some nasty stuff as a defense. And so there's a lot of weight on J.C. Silhan, the freshman, left-footer, number 18, if she can play in the back alongside Moore and Craven. Because it'll take two or three of those players to replace the production of Sarah Houchin from last year. Sarah's been the lockdown center back for 4 years, and so that's a tough replacement.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the defense. I'm somebody that I have started to enjoy soccer over the last few years, but I'm not at the point of knowing a ton of strategy or anything like that. So I guess what's the key to this lockdown defense that you mentioned that they've kind of been known for the last few years? Is there a specific strategy, or is it just having talented defenders?
Yeah, well, Coach Hoppe for years and years has played four in the back. And obviously it's much easier to cover the entire width of the field with four players than three. It's a 75-yard wide pitch, and that's a lot of distance. And for three players, it's especially difficult. But in the last few years, Coach Hoppe has transitioned, and I'm glad to see it, to a three-back system because it lets her push more attacking players forward, five in the midfield. And so the key for Auburn is going to be the tactical nuances. When you play three in the back, you've got to decide how you handle it when a team is faster than you are and they push you on the outsides, because your three have to shift across. How do you cover the space on the backside? And it's just like when you're watching a really good men's basketball team and they move the ball and move the ball and move the ball and then kick it out to somebody who's suddenly wide open and you're done for. And it's the same thing in soccer. And so as those three slide across the back, how are they going to cover that? Do they drop in a wing back? Do they take their holding center mid and drop them into the back line? Then who replaces them? And so it's dominoes all over the field. And so when you see a team that's really well organized, they've been drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled. That's what I worked on with my U-17 team tonight. How do you adjust from four back to three back? And it's just a lot of high-level coaching and players who can talk and sort it out in the chaos theory that is soccer.
So how much of that defense is the goalkeeper, Maddie Prochaska? Watching her in the exhibition against Memphis, I mean, she played great for almost that entire game. That very end kind of got away.
Yeah.
I guess how much of the defense is also including the goalkeeper there?
And the goalkeeper is the quarterback. They can see it's why probably 75% of your coaches are ex-goalkeepers, because they've seen the whole game their whole lives, and they coach the entire team in game. And Prochaska is, even though she's so young, she is not shy, and she controls that team in front of her. And so, for Maddie, it got a lot to do with her. Her positioning, her willingness to communicate and command in front of her. But it also, a lot of that goes on the center back or center backs if you're in a four-back system. And that's with Sarah Houchin for the last several years. And so I'll be really interested to see how Maddie Moore handles that responsibility. And Emmy Craven, who's, she's had a few injuries, but she looks like she's 6'6" when she's playing, but she's got the sweetest feet you've ever seen. And she's a basketball, volleyball, and Silhan's a triple jumper, if I remember correctly, out of high school. These girls are all tall and big and strong and fast. And so it really comes down to communication and leadership, and that'll be Prochaska and Moore in the central positions. So a lot of that falls on Prochaska's shoulders.
Interesting. I didn't realize that was kind of a trope, was a lot of former coaches or goalkeepers. But as a baseball guy, that's like catchers, I guess, where a lot of catchers become managers.
Yep.
So we'll go into the Memphis exhibition a little more then. The format of that was a little bit different, I'm assuming, just because it's an exhibition. Seemed like they played three periods instead of two halves. Was that just how they're set up for the exhibition?
Yeah, it just allows you to make some adjustments, coaching adjustments and water breaks, and just makes it more natural.
Yeah, I guess early August in Auburn is a good time for water breaks.
Yeah, it's good to see the international game has even adopted that. They finally admitted the fact that running 4 miles without any water, and then having to do it again and then four times in a game is probably unhealthy. So it's nice to see that being adopted everywhere.
So Memphis was a tournament team last year. I didn't know that ahead of the exhibition, but knowing that now, it seems like the way Auburn played them was impressive. Auburn really seemed to kind of own that game, especially early. Sure. And I'm assuming with it being an exhibition, there's you go a lot deeper into your roster, you sub a lot more, get more people experience. So giving up two goals late doesn't really mean a lot to me.
It's irrelevant. Yeah, absolutely irrelevant. It's
just like a preseason football game.
That's exactly right. In fact, Coach Hoppe did exactly what she should have. She didn't worry about short-term gains. She played 18 players, which is nuts. In a soccer game, you play 11, you might have two or three subs off the bench. Sometimes you go four deep. You don't go seven deep, eight deep. But she intentionally got a lot of her really young, just out of high school players right onto the field. And they were most, and the deeper you go into a game like that, if you're doing that, you take risks. And you get unorganized in the back, and I don't care how good your goalkeeper is, you're going to give up some goals. But all you had to do is look at the even if you didn't go to the game, just look at the stat book. Auburn had, I think, 8 corner kicks to their 2. That tells you who had the possession, and it tells you which end the possession was on. And so Auburn had a lot of that ball, and when Memphis came to bang, that was that's
definitely.
Yeah. And so but yeah, and if anybody's concerned about that game or that score, then they don't really understand what's going on.
So Auburn's got another exhibition Saturday at Mercer. Is Mercer, I don't know anything about their soccer program. Is that kind of what you'd expect in football as well, where they're a lower level?
Yes, but okay. You know, in soccer, you get a lot of mid-major teams that are really, really good. In fact, you can find D3 schools that will routinely thump D1 schools. You know, because you spread the, you know, especially as soccer is emerging, you get a lot of talent that's spread out all over the place. But with Mercer, I expect a little less depth off the bench from Coach Hoppe, because, you know, the regular season is coming, but they should be good. They've been good on the men's side, but I haven't followed their women's program at all.
Well, speaking of the regular season, we are a week from the opening match, and against a program a little dear to your heart, isn't that right?
Absolutely.
They'll be playing at Samford, 7 p.m. Thursday night. So if you're in the Birmingham area, you got a chance to go see them.
And Samford, Samford's no slouch. I've sent some high school players there, and you know, that's where I played keeper before men's football came in and stole all of our scholarships. And out of great admiration for the Bowden family, I won't say anything else. And I did have the privilege of meeting Bobby. One of his sons was a professor there, and then Terry obviously came in as the coach when they brought football back at some point. But anyway, I met Bobby, and everything you've heard about him is true. What a great, humble, quiet servant leader. I got to spend about 15 minutes when I was in college chatting with him, and you'd never know. This is in his national championship days, and you'd never ever know who he was just from talking to him. What a nice guy.
Thanks for sharing that. I didn't know you had any experience with the Bowdens, but that's,
yeah,
especially with them passing this past week. That's good to hear.
His son Steve was my philosophy of religion professor, and I was playing him in racquetball for bonus points for the class, and he whipped my butt. And Bobby was standing up top, had flown in town for his grandson's birthday, and was standing up top watching us and watched Steve demolish me. And and I went up top and just chatted with him, and nicest guy. Anyway, not what we're here to talk about, but worth mentioning.
Yeah, appreciate that. All right, so I guess let's just kind of wrap it up with, I guess, what are the expectations for this year? I mean, you hit on that a little bit at the top. Sure. Are they expecting to be a tournament team this year?
Absolutely. You know, every year's different. You got to watch the injury bug. You know, that can derail you in a hurry. You know, when you're really only playing 14 or 15 players, you lose one or two and you're in trouble. But, you know, if injuries are good to them and their grad transfers can contribute, their freshmen can step up, they've got experience up the middle. They've got Melanson on the outside, and she is so nasty up and down that left wing. It's just a joy to watch that girl run. Then they have a real shot. You know, they made a good run a few years ago, and it's time for them to go back. And I think they're hungry, they're motivated, and they've got the talent.
Who is the favorite of the SEC this year? Is there a dominant single program, or is there kind of change every couple of years?
Yeah, it rotates. Texas A&M under Coach G is always good. Florida is always good. Vandy bounces in and out. Every now and then Missouri pops in. Arkansas, I think most of their team is off of the same Oklahoma club team. It's like 14 of them on that team. Wow. And so there's five or six every year who could take the SEC. And, you know, and Auburn is – it's time. Coach Hoppe has been here for seemingly forever. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's got a great staff. Ben Madsen is just as solid as they come. You know, it's time. You know, after the last year in Auburn sports, everybody's hungry.
Definitely. Yeah. As far as I can tell, I believe Coach Hoppe is the winningest coach, or winningest active coach on campus right now. I think it's been here since 99, is that right?
Yeah, long, long time.
250 wins or so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a lot of people, like I said, that, you know, may not be familiar with the Auburn soccer program, may not be soccer fans in general, but I think a lot of people, like you said, are hungry to just go see sports again. So if you just have a quick pitch to someone new to the soccer program, what is it?
Well, if nothing else, the atmosphere is just so much fun. It's a smaller crowd. You know, a big crowd is a couple hundred people. You jam them into those old baseball stands. That's what they got. They need some new stands, by the way, if anybody with money's listening. A new press box would be nice. A bathroom would be even better.
You don't like going over the intramural fields for the bathroom?
Yeah, yeah. It's a little inconvenient at halftime to get off air and sprint over there. But anyway, now that I've kind of made a pitch for some facility upgrades, Allen Green, then it's a great atmosphere. You've got big student section that comes out. They're beating – They take Home Depot buckets and flip them up and drumsticks and go nuts. The Greek support is excellent. Half the basketball team and football team is out when they can be there. You see the women's basketball and volleyball. The student athlete support's a lot of fun. But it's a great atmosphere. Everybody's screaming at the referee and not understanding offside. So half the time they're screaming wrong, but it's just a blast. And, you know, Britt Bowen and JJ and some others, we're all so privileged to be able to sit there and call those games. And when the crowd's there, the girls love it. We love it. You know, we keep a field mic on just to pump in that, because it's, you know, and if you don't sit down, you scream, you beat a drum, and it's just a beautiful atmosphere. And this is 2021. It's time we got behind our women's sports. We got a new basketball coach. We've got long-term soccer success, equestrian national champions, the golf team, our women's swimming and diving. I mean, on and on we could go. If we want to point to our success, it's so frequently of late been on our women's side, and it's time we got out and supported them.
Amen to that. I believe the home opener is – not this coming Saturday, but the 21st, so I don't know, 2 weeks from now, a week and a half. Be out there Saturday night, 6:30, playing BYU, making that cross-country trip. Should be a fun one. All right, you got anything else, Mac? I think we kind of covered the bases.
No, I really appreciate you giving soccer some love, especially on the women's side. It's again, it's a privilege to be associated with it, and really glad that you guys are giving this some press. We hope some folks will come out and support the beautiful game and some beautiful young ladies.
Definitely. Well, thanks, Mac. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Thanks, Ryan.